Well, here at KPCW, we love our volunteer Air Force DJs. I got a chance to sit down with Heidi Bretz, who's a morning gal. She does the 10 to 12 shift usually, definitely on Fridays. And boy, did I learn a lot about her background. Very interesting. You just never know who's talking to you through the airwaves, their musical tastes, the one singer-songwriter they will never play, and also a fascinating childhood that involves the FBI. Here's my conversation with Heidi Bretz. And so I'm sitting here with Heidi Bretz, who's one of our wonderful Air Force volunteer DJs. And we're going to chat. So hi, Heidi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in.
Oh my gosh, pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I see you when we get done with our show around 10 a.m. on Fridays. I see you plop in usually with your dog and...
My dog has been fired.
Your dog is... tell us about your dog.
I have a wiener dog named Calvin who was fired from KPCW because, like me, he has a voice. And he was using it on the air when the microphone was on every time someone walked by the studio. So Calvin's been fired, but I'm still here.
Yay. Oh my gosh. He would just bark at randos and you would be on the air.
Oh yeah, he's protecting us from, you know, all kinds of people. UPS man.
John Burdick.
Yeah, John Burdick.
There's that mean John Burdick
all
again.
Those
does Calvin know that he's been let go?
He tries to get in the car when I come here, and I'm like, nope, not anymore.
Oh, no.
You've been fired from your volunteer job.
Oh, my goodness. Well, tell me about, did you come here from, I think you said California, right?
Yeah, from San Francisco.
Okay.
I was a big-time skier. I've always been a skier and came to Park City a lot and then bought a place here one time when I was totally inspired and bought just a place for part-time and was just using it and going back and forth to San Francisco. And then when remote work came along and I could work from anywhere, I made a decision to work from here.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And so have been here ever since. So that I moved here full-time right around COVID, kind of mm-hmm. like everybody else. Sorry,
right.
Everybody who's been here for a long time. I'm one of those people.
Yeah. Well, was it children too in school?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, children in school. And so the last one is in college and at Cal, and so we are, yeah, happily here, ready for a big winter, which we didn't have this winter.
Yeah,
sadly.
I know. It was, that was a big disappointment, to say the least. So how did you find your way to KPC? Well, you were in tech, right?
I was in tech for many, many years.
Okay, what did you do?
And,
what was your job?
I put together technology partnerships, so I was in the business part of the business, so not the programming side, where I would identify technologies we had and technologies other companies had and blend them together to create products that address people's needs. So I was at Microsoft, Amazon. I started at Netscape, so a long time ago.
Wow.
For all you old people out there,
yes. Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah.
And I was always a musician, though. I played violin and piano growing up, and I've always loved music. Never been on the air or a DJ, but was at a party, and lovely Scott Greenberg, another volunteer DJ, was talking about being a DJ, and I said, I want to do that. And so he brought me in.
Nice.
And yeah, I've been doing it ever since. I absolutely love it.
What do you love about it? You're really good at it. So,
oh,
I mean,
thank
obviously
you. Well, I didn't start out good. For those of you thinking of doing it, you don't have to have any experience and you don't have to start out good.
It's scary to be suddenly on the air. I mean, even though it's like chill and everyone here is chill, it's like the board is very
intimidating.
Yeah.
It's intimidating, but once you get it, you get it. You don't have to worry about it. So I know we're looking for DJs. Like, please come on and do it.
Oh, yes, please. You'll love it.
It's
so much fun. You get to control the music, and you have the most beautiful office in town.
You do, absolutely. And you get to talk about what's going on around town, and, you know, you learn that going off at the library every day.
Yeah.
There's something going on.
Something's going on at the library.
Every single day.
Thanks to Katrina. Yeah. What's your musical taste? Do you have...
Oh, yeah, I do. So I'm a little bit stuck in 90s grunge rock from Seattle, from that era. So you'll always hear some Soundgarden, some Eddie Vedder, who's my very favorite, some Foo. You know, I got some Foo in there all the time. But I also like local music. I like indie music. I'm not so much into the classic rock. Other people who go really heavy on that, so I feel like I can play a lot of new stuff. So I really like new music. Best part about this job is I get to hear a lot of new music. Like, the people who program, you know, our music here are always listening for new stuff. And, you know, we have the Fresh Talk Fridays. And so I learn a lot about music that I didn't know about, which is surprising because I do a lot of investigating on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and still I come in here and I'll see a band or a song I haven't heard of, and it's really fun to play. And sometimes I like it and sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes you start a song and you're like, oh, this sounds really cool. And then you're like, no, it's not.
But do you typically do the songs that are
no,
already programmed in?
Or
you
I program really... my own. I take out the rock. I take out anything Billy Joel. I'll take a request from anyone. I will play anything that anyone calls in and requests, except for Billy Joel. He makes my teeth hurt. He always has. And Scott Greenberg will almost always call in or text in with a request for Billy Joel. Or when he's on air, he will play an entire set of Billy Joel and dedicate
it to me. Just to get you?
Just to get it to me.
Okay, you have to explain this. How do you not like Billy Joel? Might be the end of our relationship.
Well, you got to stop reading the New York Times then, too, because the New York Times just did a big write-up of the top 30 living songwriters, in their opinion.
Oh, no, I saw that, yeah.
And guess who wasn't in there?
Yeah, he wasn't in there.
He was not in there. And the person, there was some discussion about it, and they were like, why was Billy Joel not included? And the person who...
Curating it
said, just because you write a song that people can sing at karaoke does not mean that you're talented. For anybody who's listening to this who likes Billy Joel, I apologize to you. Please do not call in a request when I'm on.
Not even, what's the Vienna Waits For You, no?
I have not found one yet that I like.
Do you have any fun lost and found stories that stick with you, or have you reunited people with their lost and found?
I hope I have one today. I was reading the lost and found, and somebody had a lost camera on the 4th of July on the parade route, and somebody had a found camera on the 4th of July on the parade route, and I thought, I'm going to text these two guys and put them together, and I hope that that this is the right camera, because how cool, I can just do this right here. That happened today, and I hope that there have been other success stories that I know nothing about.
Any breaking news stories that you have that you have had to deal with?
I mean, one was kind of funny. I mean, small town radio. It was, I got a note that the fence was left open, the gate was left open down at Promontory and near Promontory, and the horses and the cows are on the road. So if you're driving that way, go slowly because there are horses and cows. And if those are horses and cows, you better get up out of your chair and go get them because they're walking around.
Did you always dream of being a DJ growing up? I know you played violin.
No, I never imagined being a DJ.
Didn't have that college fantasy.
I didn't think I had the confidence to do it.
Okay.
It wasn't until later in life I think I had the confidence to actually get on a microphone and talk. And I never liked my voice. It's pretty nasally. Like when you hear it on like a voicemail, it's just like, oh, cringe. Who would want to hear that? But then I decided, you know what? I want to hear it. I'm ready to put it out there. So sorry about the nasally voice, but it's what I got in this lifetime.
And you see it overcome. It sounds like a little...
stage fright.
Stage fright, yeah.
I had a terrible fear of public speaking all the way through school, at work. It was something I really had to work hard on, and it still doesn't come naturally, but I think... Actually, being on the radio has helped a little bit.
A lot of people have it, you know. It's funny because you're just in a room talking like you would be any other time, but suddenly when you know you're live, you're like, oh, God, you know, it's just a funny thing that happens.
It's kind of like skiing. So I've always been a freestyle skier. And, you know, it was my passion, and then I started doing the Masters Racing program here. And you can take a hill that I would just rip down. I could probably do it with my eyes closed, but you put a few gates on it, panic sets in. It's just a different experience, and it's kind of terrifying.
Oh, wow.
So I'm getting over that fear too. Mm-hmm.
When you say freestyle, do you flip in the air?
I used to.
Okay.
I'm a little old for that. I did in college style, but I was studying in Austria and took a course in freestyle aerial jumping. So I learned to do it then and did it for like a year and then never jumped.
How did you end up in Austria of all places?
I speak German. I was born in Germany on an army base. Yeah.
And was your father in the army?
He was.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was his?
He was the Army Intelligence, and then he came back to the United States. When we moved back to the States, he became a special agent for the FBI.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
Very fascinating.
Did
you ever want to get into the military?
I did. I wanted to get into the FBI, and I tried right out of college, and flunked the eye test 3 times. You have to have to meet a minimum eye requirement, and I didn't do it.
No way.
So I tried. So.
They don't give you, like, contacts?
No, you had to have 2,400 vision uncorrected, and I wasn't close.
Okay.
So it was like I kept trying and kept failing.
What
my dad said is they'll put you into a chair in the eye doctor's office, and there won't be anybody in there, so you take out the slide and memorize it. You know, you just go through when they point, you just read what you remember what you saw and read it back. And I was never in the room for a second by myself. So they put up the big E and I could see that. And below that, I was like, yeah. My dad was undercover for a year in the mob. And it was kind of a cool thing. Like, it was as cool as it sounds.
Did you know he was undercover?
Yeah.
Okay, so he could tell you guys, your family.
We were trained how to talk about it in public, you know, what my dad does to play stupid. Like, what's your dad do? Oh, he works downtown. Where? Oh, I'm not really sure. I don't know.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And we had to move every
couple
years.
People, this is breaking news right here.
Breaking news. Someone's dad was an FBI agent.
Like a secret surface agent. This is so cool.
It was pretty cool. And people were like, how did that feel? And I was like, I didn't know anything else. So it felt normal to me.
Who did he get? El Chapo? Or no, this mob was, that was later. Was he around Al Capone?
I don't know. I never asked him, and now he's gone, and I can't.
Okay.
It didn't come up in conversation. Let's just say that.
I'm sure he was probably like, I can't really talk about this.
He wanted to. It's like after a case would break, he'd want to talk about it. And, you know, we'd be sitting around the table, and he'd be like, yeah, and then, you know, Blue Velvet said to Johnny No Teeth, and we'd be like, can I have the keys, Dad? I'm like, so not interested. So now I wish I'd listen more and ask more questions.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for coming in, Heidi.
Thanks a lot. Bye.